The thing you need most from a news organization is reporting you can trust. Journalists dedicated to telling you the truth. I'm Molly Ingram, and thanks to your contributions to WSHU, we can continue to bring you reliable and trusted news coverage in the weeks and months to come. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut is putting $28 million toward transforming blighted properties. A Montauk dredging project gets a boost with a second machine after its first one broke down. The Mashantucket Pequot Tribe partners with Hartford Healthcare on a wellness center. Plus, a lost city, a fading faith, and tragedy that struck twice. That's the latest from WSHU's Off the Path. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut is spending more than $28 million to remediate 16 blighted properties in 13 cities and towns across the state. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The brownfield remediation is expected to leverage about $350 million in private investments to help bring more than 200 acres of land back into productive use. Governor Ned Lamont says 835 housing units would be created, and 157 of them would be designated as affordable, in line with the state's new housing law he signed last month.
That's why we've been so aggressive in brownfields, doing everything we can on a very timely basis to make sure we get this cleaned up so the developer knows on a timely basis we can get the job done.
The Department of Economic and Community Development grants range from $8 million for the cleanup of an industrial and commercial site in Greenwich to $50,000 for the assessment of the site of a former post office in the rural northeast town of Chaplin. The department is accepting applications next month for another round of brownfield remediation grants that will be awarded in the spring. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
A second dredging machine has arrived at Montauk Inlet to complete a major operation to restore the crucial waterway. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports the first machine suffered mechanical failures just after 1 month on the job.
The effort to make Montauk Inlet at least 17 feet deep is a critical project that will allow commercial fishing boats safer access through the harbor. But the machine removing sand and debris from the seafloor has broken down twice now, while the window to complete the project shrinks. So contractors brought in a second dredge, smaller and less powerful than the first one, but sufficient to get the job done, according to the East Hampton Town Council. The operation to dredge the inlet and shore up the surrounding dunes is a joint partnership between East Hampton Town and the Federal Army Corps of Engineers, costing about $13 million. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Nation will partner with Hartford Healthcare to open a wellness center in eastern Connecticut. WSHU's Janice Roman reports.
Hartford Healthcare will work with the Mashantucket Pequot Tribe to build a 21-square-foot health center. The tribe, which is the operator of Foxwoods Resort, will provide health services for its members. Part of the center will also feature a clinic that will be open to the general public. Dr. Prem Kumar is a representative for Hartford Healthcare. He says patients of the center will have full access to the Hartford Healthcare system.
The combined goals of offering high-quality healthcare, connecting to healthcare beyond primary care, adding specialty care, behavioral health, it's a needed resource, not just for the tribal nation, but for all of the communities in the eastern part of the state.
The new health center is set to open in spring 2027, and a groundbreaking ceremony is planned for this spring. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
And Hartford Healthcare is a supporter of this podcast. In the heart of the Yale Art Gallery lies a collection of relics from an ancient Syrian city where diverse religions once coexisted. That's the latest from WSHU's Off the Path, and that's ahead. Vocal support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
We have a special lineup of programs for you this holiday season with songs, carols, and stories for Christmas, including annual favorites like A Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols and David Bouchier's A Victorian Christmas. We also have music and stories for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and music that welcomes the winter season. There is something for everyone. You can find the full schedule at WSHU.org.
Long Island has some of New York's lowest gas prices, according to AAA. Average prices dropped to about $2.95 a gallon across the island, while the statewide average stands at $3.09. Elmira, in upstate New York, has the cheapest gas right now at $2.93. Service Plaza workers on Connecticut's highways voted yes to unionizing. Negotiations on a contract could begin as soon as next month. The move comes after state officials convinced the plaza owner to stay neutral in the unionization campaign. Andrew Dykes, the Florida man charged with murder for the Gilgo Beach victim long known as Peaches, has pleaded not guilty. The victim, Tanya Denise Jackson, was Dykes' girlfriend. He's also the father of her murdered baby. Mother and daughter were both killed in 1997. Dykes has not been charged in his daughter's death. Connecticut's chief marketing officer, Anthony, yes, it's his first and last name, will leave his position in February. Anthony has been at the helm of advertising for the state for more than 2 years. He plans to take the job as a marketing and communications consultant. The Yale Art Gallery holds some treasures from an ancient city in Syria, where many religions flourished side by side, including a new one called Christianity. The city was attacked, abandoned, and then rediscovered by archaeologists in the 1920s. But tragedy struck the city again more recently at the hands of terrorists. WSHU's Davis Donovan follows the history of the town called Dura Europis for the series Off the Path.
Dura Europis fell in about 250 AD. The residents fled or were deported. And after that, the record was mostly blank. Here's how one archaeologist described what was left behind for nearly 1,800 years.
The mute testimony that remained was of a site desolate and forlorn, where the lonely and level sands covered the bones of the city and stretched away across the desert.
In 1920, after World War II, Syria found itself under French rule. Here's Yale curator Lisa Brody.
British troops came upon some wall paintings. So they called out to Damascus, where there was an American archaeologist. He made a trip to the site, realized the magnitude of the discovery.
And archaeologists descended on Dura Europis. Eventually, Yale joined the dig. That's how they ended up with the spoils.
The finds were divided essentially in half, and half stayed in Syria, and the other half of all the finds came to New Haven.
Artifacts like armor and weapons from the Roman garrison and statues from the city's many temples. Archaeologists kept digging for decades in the Syrian desert, and they learned a lot about the city. Then, in 2011, civil war broke out in Syria, and the desert around Dura Europis fell under the control of the militant group ISIS. The group was notorious for destroying historic sites, like the temple at Palmyra.
Syrian temple, built nearly 2,000 years ago, is now a pile of rubble after the terror group ISIS rigged it with explosives and blew it up.
That's a CNN report from 2015, but Lisa Brody of the Yale Art Gallery says what happened at Dura Europis is different. ISIS soldiers didn't bomb the city. They swarmed the site and started to loot everything they could find. Then other opportunists in the area joined in. They started digging holes everywhere.
And we have aerial photographs and satellite imagery that show the entire surface of the city, as well as the cemetery or necropolis outside of the city walls, covered with holes, pits that have been dug to find antiquities.
Most likely, hundreds of artifacts have entered the black market in the past decade. many never seen by archaeologists. And even if archaeologists manage to track some of them down,
once an object is out of its original context, there's so much about it that we lose. Any of the objects here, if we didn't know their context and know where they were from, no matter how beautiful they are, they lose a tremendous amount of value.
Syria's National Museum in Damascus reopened earlier this year after the end of the country's civil war. So about half of the original treasures of Dura Europas are now back on view, and the other half remain safely at the Yale Art Gallery in New Haven. This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And for more from this station, Instagram is the place to be. We would love to connect with you there. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. Nice and easy. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.